This Arrow FM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air. Joining me today is acclaimed filmmaker Vincent Ward. Kia ora, Vincent.
Kia ora, Jane. How are you?
Well, I'm really well. I'm so happy to have you on the show again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I am very much looking forward to seeing you back here in the Wairarapa next week. Actually, as we speak, you'll be arriving here in Masterton. And I'm delighted to be welcoming you back for the spring program that we're presenting for the Wairarapa Film Festival. We've got you presenting an acting masterclass and, back by popular demand, two of your earliest films. So I thought we'd have a chat about that today. And also, we've got a bit of an announcement to make, but we'll get to that later. I want to come back to you being back here in the Wairarapa and looking at those repeat screenings that we're going to be presenting of two of your earliest works, Mar Olsen, made in 1977, and followed up with your next documentary, In Spring One Plants Alone, which was released in 1980. Please tell me about them.
Okay, well, I'll backtrack a little bit. I just want to say how great it is always to return to the Wairarapa, where I come from. And it always feels like a bit like coming home. And so I'm quite devoted to you, Jane, and the work you do, because anything that celebrates my home province, I'm a big supporter of.
Fantastic.
I don't think it's a surprise the number of filmmakers have settled there, from Peter Jackson to James Cameron and so on. There's something special. So the two films, Mar Olsen, the best thing is, we screened it in Masterton this year, as you know, because you organised it. And much to our surprise, and it was doubled with this film, In Spring One Plants Alone. And much to our surprise, this little 15-minute short film and this other film, both documentaries, got a really tremendous response. And the 15-minute short film, because I was quite young, I didn't really expect anything from it. But I think people engaged with the character in it, Mrs. Olsen,
yeah,
this extremely older woman, kind of pioneering type, missing front teeth. I mean, as the Dominion Post and described her, and I think maybe Television New Zealand, as the witch of the Wairarapa.
Yeah.
And not that she was a witch, but she had that look with her explosion of hair. You know, brewing out of her head, and those missing teeth, and she'd bicycle to town, you know, every few days with a whole bunch of eggs on the back of her bike. But she had something like 100 chooks and one male. Well, 100 chooks, and probably about half of them were roosters, which you're definitely not meant to do it that way. You meant to have a few roosters serving chooks. And she took, and when you go to her place, and people would step back from the door because the chooks would, she'd open the door to say hello, and then, but first of all, there'd be this sort of, these chooks would just kind of poof out of the door. and she was this sort of person that had this gift with animals. Like, she could take the eye out of a cat that had conjunctivitis and it would survive, and, you know, survive much better than it would have if she hadn't done that. He would sometimes rear, like, chickens, sometimes rear ducks, small ducks.
Yeah.
Ducklings.
Yeah.
With the chook. So the chook would look after the duckling, and, you know, as if it was her own. So she sort of, you know, and she had this gift with lambing. My father lived down the road, and that's how I knew her. And he always, these incredibly strong, small, feminine hands, and they made, you know, if you're lambing, you need very strong hands, and it's a place no man really wants to go. And she had this real gift, you know, and she, from a young age, you know, from when she was like 16, she had this just devotion to it. And so in Whanganui, where she lived up the Whanganui River, she came into town one day, and the milkman was on his dray and his, you know, horse, and he had a stock whip, and he was using a stock whip on this poor animal, on this poor horse, and she ran up to him, grabbed the stock whip, and started whipping him, and she could handle a stock whip, which is unusual, you know, for most people. I mean, anybody to handle a stock whip is unusual, let alone a 16-year-old girl, and she, you know, whipped the crap out of him, and of course he never did it again. And so that passion I try to capture in this little wee small film. And so I'm very excited to come back to the Wairarapa. It'll be on in Martinborough, and it's doubled with a film where another film I made about a elderly woman, a Maori woman living in the Urawidra, and her name was Puhi Tatu, and the film won a lot of awards on a major documentary film festival in France, for example, is one of them.
And Chicago in the States as well.
Yeah, won a major award there also, and then was screened all over the place and got really fantastic reviews. And interestingly, it's of, you know, one of Werner Herzog's favourite films, at least of mine, but I'm hopefully a bit wider than that. And yeah, so it's about a elderly woman in the Urawiras, Tuhoi, bringing up a 40-year-old man-child, paranoid schizophrenia, it weighing in about 220 pounds, who about once a month explodes frustration and loneliness. And so I just live with him for a long time. And so it's really, and I guess she took me in because she fed me as a kind of mokopuna, a grandchild. Mm. And so it was a very, very special experience for me, and I hope to be able to share that experience with you, dear listeners, when I come to Martinborough and introduce the film.
Well, look, we were just so overwhelmed with the response that came from people all across New Zealand who were either neighbours of hers at some point, or great nieces. We've got two great nieces that are travelling down from Mangawhai Heads in Northland and Rotorua just to be able to see their great auntie at Circus Cinema on the big screen. They've never seen this film. Of course, that's one of the remarkable things about this, is that it had its full digitisation and restoration done by the film preservation team at Ngā Taonga, and it was shown this year for the very first time in a cinema. Now, we had the sold-out screenings in Masterton to the point that we did a third encore, but over the last few months, I have still received emails from people all over New Zealand asking how they can see this film, which is why I'm really, really delighted that we can have this additional screening as part of our spring program for the Wairarapa Film Festival. And I haven't told you this, but tickets are selling really fast, and the demand is such that the cinema are actually going to open both of their cinemas and actually screen Mara Olsen Inn and Spring One Plants Alone at the same time in both cinemas to be able to actually accommodate everybody.
Well, I have to say, Jane, the fact that we're screening Mara Olsen at all anywhere is entirely due to you, that you felt that it might have value. And you know, as I say, I was completely surprised what the strong response to it was. And I put that response down only because I was a young filmmaker. I didn't, you know, I wasn't like a highly skilled filmmaker at that time. But I put it down to the nature of this extraordinary character, yeah, and her warmth and her uniqueness. And, you know, and I mean, I think my father always used to say, you know, in the back country of New Zealand, back in time, people were more individual, and they came to their own choices more. There wasn't television, there wasn't the internet. And she, even though this is in the 1970s, she's from that breed of people that make their own choices and live their own highly individual way.
She certainly did. Yeah.
Yeah. I was lucky to be able to capture that.
Yeah. It is of a time and place because, you know, do people still live like that these days? I'm not sure that they do. I'm not sure it would be possible. But I think there are so many residents of South Wairarapa that still have such strong and vivid memories of her that one of the reasons why this has been so popular is that people really do feel a sense of connection to her.
Indeed. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, which has been just lovely. Now, you're also going to be presenting a masterclass because, as you know, when I invite you back here to the Wairarapa, I like to think about all the ways that I can connect you with different people and audiences and interest groups. And you have experience with, in fact, you're actually in Auckland right now working alongside an acting coach. And I'm really delighted that you're going to be here in the Wairarapa presenting this masterclass.
Yeah, I work as an acting coach. I mean, I help other acting coaches because I can't be bothered organising things. But bring me in, and then I was directing a whole bunch of young actors, well, not just young actors, professional actors, last night, for example, doing. So I worked with a range of acting coaches, and I worked with, I lived in Los Angeles for a long time, and I worked with acting coaches there. And I, for example, I did three years of improvisation with a brilliant acting coach called Stephen Book, who wrote a huge book on acting called Book on Acting, surprisingly. And that was an incredible experience. And then I worked with another acting coach, Penny Allen, who, you know, I worked with Harvey Keitel and Tasha Kinski and Robert, and her husband worked with Al Pacino. And so I'd go to a little coffee bar in Santa Monica, and there'd be Al Pacino and me and her husband, wheelchair, and Penny. And Al never said much to me, but I'd continue my conversation with Penny. She was an extraordinary, she's dead now, but she was an extraordinary, not just actress, but an extraordinary teacher, much loved from the Actors Studio in New York.
Yeah.
And so all that famous stuff, all those famous people that came through the Actors Studio, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, all these people that are legend. She knew all them and she worked with many of them. So I was lucky to work with her. I also worked as an actor in LA for a while. And so it's quite nice to come back and share some of my experiences and knowledge with other actors, and although I'm mainly a film director, but other actors, and, explore.
It is proving to be extremely popular as well. We have people signing up and with experience working in either theatre or film. So that is going to be an absolute delight. And that is on Friday, the 25th of October. And we're back in Greytown at Studio 73 at 73 Main Street for that. And tickets are available for the masterclass on Humanitics. If you go to Humanitics and put in Wairarapa Film Festival, there's a series of masterclasses and workshops that are happening as part of the spring program that people can buy tickets to. And the tickets for your screening of Mara Olsen and In Spring One Plants Alone are really selling fast, but are available through Circus Cinema in Martinborough.
Now, the risk of sounding like a used car salesman. At a very low price. No, they're only 12 we're going to have 12 participants, I think it is, at the acting workshop. 12, isn't it, Jane, we agreed to?
Yeah.
And so that's highly limited. There's only a few places left. And the Martinborough Film Festival, for this really unusual and unique, not completely unique, but fairly unique screening of Marlson and in Spring One Parts Alone, is starting to sell out. So yes. If you're interested, book now.
Yeah, now that's on Saturday the 26th of October and starting at 3 p.m. Now, we have another announcement to make. So in the background, yeah, I am so excited about this. So it is this year the 40th anniversary of your feature film Vigil. And we are going to be taking this to the embassy in Wellington. And Embassy Theatre in the Grand. And that is on the night of Tuesday, the 19th of November, starting at 6:15 p.m. And you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. And as I understand it, it's certainly the largest picture theatre in Wellington and an extraordinary place. You know, it's just a beautiful, old-fashioned extravaganza of a picture theatre.
Oh, it really is. And what makes it really even more special is it is about to celebrate its 100th birthday on the 31st of October. So I am just delighted that we are going to then, not long after that 100th birthday, come in with celebrating the 40th anniversary of your film, Vigil. Tell me about the why of making Vigil. Why did you want to make this film?
Okay, so I should first of all just remind listeners that it's Jane Ross and Vincent Ward talking about Vincent's feature film, first feature film, Vigil.
Yes.
Because I thought that you meant to do that every so often.
so thank you.
Vigil, well, gosh, through the eons of time that have gone by. You know, I grew up in the, as I say, in southern Wairarapa, in the country, in Wairarapa, and I, you know, it was quite isolating. My mother was a refugee, and you know, fled Germany, and my father returned from the war injured, and my brother went to boarding school, and my sisters went to boarding school, and then suddenly I found myself alone, and. So that experience of loneliness really affected me, of sudden loneliness and suddenly not being the spoilt younger brother, you know. I was suddenly, that vanished. And growing up on this farm, and it was a very rugged farm initially because my dad, it was broke, and so he bought this, you know, place that had been used for gunnery practice in World War One, and was all bush and cliff and, you know, ravines that, you know, ran into each other. And he's determined to shape it back into something. Well, that experience of growing up, maybe I can use some experiences of my sisters and my own experiences and transform it into a story about a isolated girl growing up in a rural community who's doesn't understand what's going on around her with her mother after the sudden death of her father, and who falls from a cliff, and you know what that experience might be. She's Catholic, she's fearful, she watches her mother have an affair with the person that she thinks is a caused the death, and you know, she's coming of age herself, dealing with all those sorts of issues, but she doesn't have anyone to turn to. She doesn't get on with her mum, and I thought that ferment would make material for, you know, a really strong feature film. And so that's the nature of what Virtual is. And, you know, at that time we had Roger Johnson, we had Jeff Murphy, wonderful filmmakers. They were making films in a purely American tradition. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching a lot. I love the American films, you know. I also love the European films. And I thought you could do something that somewhere draws from both traditions. And so when Vigil came out, first of all, it suddenly was accepted for the Cannes Film Festival, which was the first film to be accepted.
Yeah, now that is really significant. So Vigil was the first New Zealand feature film selected to compete at Cannes. And I think not only did that put New Zealand film on the European map, it was like on the international map as well. Yeah, it was really quite a significant moment in time.
It got rave reviews in the LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle, yeah, New York Times, etc. And so basically what it meant was that it was a charter to say, actually, we don't have to just follow the American tradition. We can make films that are more character-based and not so entirely plot-driven, that talk about people's experience.
And you were drawing upon, I mean, you often do this with your films, you draw upon things in your own life, but with this one you were also drawing upon dreams and images that you had in your head, and you built around that. And I'm thinking in particular, one of my favourite scenes in the film is, of course, the light coming in through a window and the movement of that curtain as the mum is sewing a tutu. Now, I know, because I've listened to Graham Tetley talk about this, that that whole scene was shot over 8 hours and you still weren't happy with it because you were trying to achieve Vermeer. And for me, when I look at that, what ended up being 30 seconds on film, I look at that as a piece of art. It is art. Every frame is a piece of, it's an artwork. And I don't say that lightly. I say that with the utmost of utter respect for you, Vincent, because at the end of that day of shooting, I know that somebody turned to you and said, "Are you happy?" And you said no, because I only had 8 hours. And that is about your dedication to detail, which I so admire.
I'm a miserable bastard, you know.
Well, that's one interpretation. Another one is your films are about the details, aren't they?
Well, you know, you try to make something better than you can possibly make it.
Anyway,
what else can we say about Vigil? I tell you what we can say about Vigil. Vigil had, you know, you're only as good as your leading actor. And let's be real clear about that. And my leading actor was an 11-year-old girl.
Mm. What a talent.
Truly frigging extraordinary. And very rare that you get that lucky, but every now and again you do. And you could look at this woman, this young woman, this girl, and you could see, at the risk of being incredibly pretentious, but let me go there, you could see her soul. You could see thinking. You could see everything she was feeling. And it felt, it was true in those moments. Those moments completely. And so Fiona Kaye, who, you know, I went through probably, I don't know, 60 schools, because I did it in Wellington, Auckland. I did it 2 years in a row, you know, looking for the right face, the right.
You did.
And
yeah.
Worked. And then this kid emerged. And, you know, what was interesting, it wasn't just me saying that. I mean, there's a very significant acting performance by a woman called Falconetti, French, in a Carl Dreyer film, classic Carl Dreyer film. It's considered one of the best performances ever.
Mm.
And this is boasting, and so forgive me, but, you know, in the LA Times, they compared Fiona Kaye's performance to Falconetti's. And you know, because it's a very, it's like there's very little dialogue, but you just see and identify with the persona of who this person is. And so I was really thrilled that she, you know, together we were able to find this performance, and she did this extraordinary, you know, sometimes with kids, they reveal things that no professional actor would ever reveal. It's unconscious. We build up all these defenses to survive and not feel too vulnerable. But in a child actor, sometimes those, they're not there. They're still unguarded, and they're pure, and they're so real and so uncomfortable sometimes, or so comfortable. They're so true. And very hard to ever replicate that for a professional actor.
And I think also we hadn't seen a young female protagonist in New Zealand feature film, not like Fiona Kaye. And I think what that did was inspire a new generation of female filmmakers. They felt inspired to tell stories. And
5 women film directors come up to me and say they were, you know, 4 or 5, that this was the reason they started making. I keep being surprised by that, you know?
Yeah.
They're well-known filmmakers, and you go, wow, okay, cool.
That's amazing, isn't it? And the fact that it resonated around the world as well, I think, has also been just so significant with this film. So I am very good friends with the film school at Victoria University, and you know, Vigil is still taught in our universities. And, my very good friend Alfio Leota has spoken really passionately about the historical and the cultural significance of this film, and it's still included in film programs. So 40 years later, it deserves to have the celebration, which is happening at the Embassy Theatre.
I think the critical thing is, you know, as a filmmaker and, you know, for actors, you aim to try to find something true. It's so true that it resonates with everyone, or resonates not necessarily with everyone, but resonates with a lot of people. And if you can find that, you've succeeded. And I think in retrospect, that film does succeed, and that Fiona found a real truth. We as a team found a real truth. And so that's what you really look for. And so that, if you find that, that stands any test of time, basically. You know, it will last, it will survive. And I think people recognise that when they saw it.
Yeah. Though I am so looking forward to being with you and an audience of 750 people in the Grand. We're going to screen this film. We're going to have you there and some invited guests who will be doing an introduction and also joining in with the Q&A. Now, that includes a live link to Sydney, where we're going to have John Maynard, producer, a longtime friend of yours, somebody who helped launch your feature filmmaking career and also worked with your next feature, which was The Navigator, A Medieval Odyssey. So I am so looking forward to that, because I don't know if that's ever happened before, where we've had you and John joining in through a live link in another country into a cinema to actually talk with the audience. And that's, I'm just really excited about that.
And I'm hoping we can get Fiona along as well, the actress.
Also, you know, living in Sydney, so we're hoping that we'll be able to put John and Fiona together in that live link.
But these sort of screenings, they come along very rarely. One doesn't do it very often. So this is a rare occasion in a wonderful cinema. And the thing that the cinema offers is an experience. It's not like downloading a movie. You get to share it with other people. You see it on a big screen. You get to really feel the emotion and experience of it in a more intense way. In the past, when I've had my film screened, like in Auckland at different cinemas and other countries, you know, it's been an awesome night. You know, there's been a sense of, I don't know, there's been really something special about it, not just because I made the film, but I felt that from the audience, and people came up to me afterwards and said, wow, you know, this, you know, we got to live this for this period of time, and it was great to hear what they say about it and be part of an intimate group sharing an experience together. and having a drink before and afterwards.
What more could you ask for? It sounds like an amazing evening.
Before and afterwards, a cut to the chase.
Vincent, as always, it's been a delight to talk with you today, and I'm going to see you here in the Wairarapa next week. Looking forward to that. And again, we're spreading the word far and wide about the screenings for the Wairarapa Film Festival, but also our 40th anniversary screening taking place on the 19th of November at the Embassy Theatre. Vincent, thank you so much again for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Jane. Wonderful, Jane. Good on you. Bye.
Bye-bye.